The first time in my whole life I realized I totally and utterly loved one person. And it wasn't the person standing next to me in the veil, it's the person standing opposite me now.
You want a podcast? Great. They have some audio on your website that nobody goes to.
You're listening to Vandal Tron's Curious World Podcast. Check it out, baby.
What's going on, everybody? Happy, whatever day it is that you're listening to this episode. We're nearing the tail end of August, the tail end of summer, actually, which is always bittersweet. You know, I got a tweet from a listener, I hope this person's a listener, saying, you know, sometimes your shows are political, sometimes your shows are about, you know, he was criticizing me about, you know, there doesn't seem to be a through line to your shows. And I've thought about this, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from people saying, like, hey, you know, pick a lane, whether it's politics or, you know, maybe a Tim Ferriss kind of style of, you know, how to, you know, life improvement and things like that. You know, and I would definitely, I can see how, you know, certain shows, if you do pick a specific topic and you kind of find that niche, then there is a road to success. But I can't do that. I'm not, well, first of all, this show really isn't built around, you know, any kind of, you know, monetary success, or I'm not in it for a bunch of likes and a bunch of, I mean, look, nobody puts something out there just so people can say, oh, that's a piece of shit. You want to put out quality and you want to find, a large audience. But I think my kaleidoscope of interests range from a whole bunch of things. I mean, I think that's why you listen. I think you listen to a variety of music and you have a variety source of podcast and other forms of storytelling and entertainment. We're complex human beings. And, you know, it's okay to dip your toe in different pools. And I think change is important. You know, I always evaluate, you know, where I was this time last year. And it's always evolving. You know, I think there's a baseline for me that's always more or less the same. You know, I don't think murder is... murder isn't something that's good and that's pretty been pretty consistent with my life. I think some things, you know, my opinion on certain things have changed and have altered. And it did bother me for a while because I felt like, well, am I just wishy-washy? Because, you know, politicians are always attacked for, well, you know, in 2002 you felt this way and so forth. But then I realized, oh, I'm not a politician. I'm never going to run for office. Well, I suppose never say it. I'd love to be mayor of New York because I feel like I'd do a better job. That's a different show. But I think being curious is an admittance that you don't know everything. And I certainly don't. And it's kind of my calling card. I want to learn more and I want to learn more about people and ultimately myself. So I recently accepted a new job. I'll be working at a transfer high school. And so for people who aren't in a metropolitan area, transfer high schools are when young adults have aged out of regular high school and they haven't earned their diploma and they don't have enough credits. And so, but they're still, obviously they still need to get a high school equivalency. So transfer high schools are smaller. They're more hands-on. And they're a shorter time because while they do have some credits, they just don't have them all. And so this move just feels right. I don't know how, in terms of schedule, this will compromise the show. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a flow thing, and we'll see where this goes. And I'm not going to stop the show, and maybe the episodes won't be as frequent in terms of just booking people or finding time to do it, at least initially. I'll have to figure out my schedule. But it's a new chapter, and I'm challenging myself, and I think hopefully if you're listening, then maybe this is something that's inviting to you to challenge yourself and do something that is innovative and rewarding for yourself. But taking on this new position got me thinking about all the jobs that I've had since living in New York. And I've had so many jobs, from corporate sales to marketing to working in restaurants to dog walking to moving shit out of storage for people to, I think I, at one point I maybe have been like cleaning somebody's apartment for like $50, all kinds of things. I came to New York, as most of you may know, to pursue acting and filmmaking. And sometimes I think the original trajectory is you come to New York and then you get some sort of survival job that doesn't mean too much to you, and then your days are free or nights are free, whatever. I mean, this is a struggle that a lot of up-and-coming actors and writers have, and musicians have in the city of time management. When I first came to New York, I landed a job pretty quickly in an office in the Chrysler Building. So, sometimes I would think like, well, what if I didn't get that job? And then my pathway would be different. But anyway, I did. And I worked in kind of like offices for a while. And then I suddenly woke up and said, well, I don't want to do this. And I really shouldn't be doing this. So I kind of shifted to, you know, what is kind of traditional of the service industry of, you know, food, catering and that sort of thing. And for a while, I liked the job because most of the catering that I did was with people that I knew. I worked with two particular chefs and I knew them both, and I would consider them my friends. At certain points, they were very close to me. I don't know. They really weren't competitive with one another. They didn't know each other. But it was one of those situations where I was working with entrepreneurs and business owners, and you know, and I got to see the business. I think what helped shape me was, you know, the people that I was working with, since I was a waiter or a bartender, that meant more to me than anything. So I started to cultivate the need to staff up the events myself. Because I just said, look, if I'm going to work this, I don't want to work with like people who are unprofessional or just kind of lame. I'd just rather work with my friends. And most of my friends had, you know, experience as a waiter, or I can certainly show them. I mean, it's not rocket science. If you could just smile and carry a tray of food, then you can pretty much do the job. So one of the chefs that I worked at started getting these high-end jobs. We started doing, you know, fashion, a lot of fashion. One day I'll tell you all about the fashion week and the models and so forth. I will say a little hindsight, when if got, you know, female models get treated like shit. And maybe that's why some of them treat other people like shit. But the guys, man, they get shit on real bad because it's like they can't even find solace with the girls because they treat them like shit. They're just peasants. I don't even think they get paid as much as the girls. So there's your equality there. But anyway, so we did this gig at this loft. It was, it's in the East Village. Yeah. East Village, like around I'd say NYU, but NYU is like everywhere now. Anyway, I actually don't know what they did. I don't know if they were in the fashion or just real like fashionistas, but they had a condo and they gutted the condo next to them. So they had like both spaces. It was pretty intense. I mean, they may have like four floors or something. And they had this huge, party, and, you know, I was warned that it was going to be, like, celebrities were going to be there and stuff, and as an up-and-coming actor, it was kind of, like, humbling to be around people that I was like, okay, these people are in the entertainment industry, but at the same time, a little kind of embarrassing that, like, I can't really talk to them because I was a waiter. And I had a real issue being a waiter for a long, long time. You know, there was a part of me that I just felt embarrassed. I just felt like, you know, here's your food. And I would just kind of scurry away. But, you know, a light bulb went off on my head saying like, look, how you feel about yourself is how people are going to treat you. So if you see yourself as just kind of this lowly servant, how do you expect people to be friendly to you or even treat you with respect? So I really did elevate my self-perception of, look, this is just a job, this is a task that I'm doing. And we're both in the same room. Okay, you do this thing and I'm doing this thing right now. And so, but beyond that, we're human beings and, you know, let's respect each other. And, you know, I respect you, you respect me. And because beyond this, I'm so much more. So anyway, this party was kind of nuts. You know, again, you had two floors and all kinds of expensive jewelry and shit. I don't know too much about fashion, but I think I know when I see something that's pretty expensive. Juliana Margulies was there, and I gotta say, so this was around, I think 2007, and I don't know the timeline between that and her, what's her show? The Good Wife. But she looks hot on the show, The Good Wife. And I think currently now, I think she's got a new show on AMC or something. Dietland or something. Anyway, in 2007, this party, she looked busted. I mean, I was just like, holy shit. She really let herself go after ER. I don't know what it was, but I was like, wow. Again, in 2007, this is before, you know, any social media. I think I may have even had MySpace back then. Anyway, so she was pretty busted, and she was definitely tipsy, and she was kind of parading around and like draping herself around people. And I was like, hey, this is a party. This is what you're supposed to do. And who else was there? A lot of celebrities, right? So obviously if I can't remember them, I see their face, but I can't remember the name at this right now. So it doesn't, who gives a fuck? So, there's whispers, right? Lots of whispers are like, oh, Hugh, oh my God, look, it's him. And Hugh Grant is there. Hugh Grant shows up and he's already inebriated. I could tell. Because if you spot it, you got it. And I could tell. But I'm like, hey, it's a party, right? And so because of the layout of this apartment, I kind of switched on and off with my buddy Josh. So sometimes he was the bartender and sometimes I was a waiter. I think there were like four of us all together, actually. Josh has already been on the show. You can look him up. He is an actor. It's a really great episode. At the end, he actually kind of breaks onto a song. But anyway, Hugh Grant comes up to us and he is, look, which one of you got the guys have weed? Because I know you guys have weed. So I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Josh was like, fuck it. Yeah, okay, you want some? Yeah, let's do it. So sometimes Josh and I, depending on the party, would kind of take breaks and would smoke weed. Kind of like American Beauty. So we go up to this guy's roof. And it is kind of a lull. So at this time, it's kind of like things are kind of dying down. I'm up there with Josh and Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant already has a drink and a cigarette. So he takes a hit and we're all kind of passing around Josh's weed. And I don't think Josh even, he definitely did not give a shit. This is, so 2007, I'm trying to think, like, this is around music and lyrics time. So if you ever saw that movie, he is a kind of like, I guess they kind of modeled him after Andrew Ridley from Wham, how George Michael took off and Andrew Ridley didn't. And he is paired up with Drew Barrymore in there. It's a romantic comedy. I felt like it had so much potential because, you know, it's focusing on the 80s and the premise was awesome. And then the third act, it just kind of falls apart. They introduce this Britney Spears kind of clone and it gets kind of trite at the end. But the premise was there and I thought he was really good in it. And I thought they were both good. Actually, if you think about it, Hugh Grant is a legitimate good actor. I mean, when you think about Four Weddings and a Funeral and Maurice and Sense and Sensibility, I felt like his peak was About a Boy. And I looked it up. That's 2002. That year, the best actor nominees were, obviously Denzel won for Training Day, and I think that's earned. But you had Russell Crowe for A Beautiful Mind, who's nuts. Sean Penn and I Am Sam, who plays a mentally retarded guy, that's a movie that you never have to see, well, period. But if you see it, you definitely don't need to see it twice. Will Smith and Ali, which is, look, I love Muhammad Ali. I love Michael Mann. And I felt like that movie's a piece of shit. He was just an impersonator. And Tom Wilkinson in The Bedroom, which I have no argument with that. I thought that was a great, subtle performance. But I felt like Hugh Grant could have slid in there. And I think about like what his career could have been if he was even just nominated for that role. I think, you know, comedy just doesn't get the just due that it deserves. I mean, in About a Boy, he really balances, you know, ethos and melancholy, and he's funny in it too, and very self-depreciating. And I think it's a great role and a great movie. And the source material is, you know, Nick Hornby. Anyway, so I was a huge fan of About a Boy. I would say I definitely respected him. It's around the roof, and oh yeah, so Josh does not give a fuck about Hugh Grant. He does not care. He's just smoking, just doesn't give a fuck. Hugh Grant is like, well, honestly, you know, when he came to us, I realized he was drunk, and so there was a part of me that was kind of excited that I was going to hang out with him. But there was another part of me that just, I felt a little slighted, because he just assumed, oh, because we were the help, that we had weed. That, you know, we're potheads. I guess in hindsight, I should have just, like, said, whatever. But it did bother me a little bit. And so here he is on the roof and just like, he's just talking about like how shitty New York is and how dirty it is. And Josh is like, well, you know, we both live here or something. And, oh, that's right. Josh actually brings up Liz Hurley. He's like, oh man, Liz Hurley's so hot. And of course they broke up like years, I think, gosh, maybe 2 years ago, 2 years. I mean, 2 years prior to this. And, you know, I didn't even get into like I'm a fan or I'm a big fan or any of his performances or anything like that. Because I think he was just so out of it. And he was just kind of like, I don't know. He was just kind of like commenting how like dirty New York is and how he... not a fan of ever coming to New York for anything. And he was, he was talking, talking shit about the people in the party. Well, as if we knew who they were. I mean, I tried to keep up. I'm like, oh yeah, the fat dude with glasses. Yeah. I guess he's kind of fat. And then Hugh Grant just turned to us after taking like three drags to our one like puff and pass, like, you know what? This is shit weed. Forgive my British accent. This is on the spot. And I'm like, what? Yeah, this is shit. Worst weed I ever smoked in my life. I'm like, oh, well, you clearly can make that differential since you smoked most of it. And then he's going to give it back to us because there's still a little left. And then he flicks it. He flicks it at us. And he exhales this puff of smoke and he goes downstairs. And I'm just like, you cocksucker. And I go downstairs. And so So there's a girl that's working with us. Like I said, there was like a total of four of us. And she's like, oh my God, I saw you like hanging out with Hugh Grant. What was that like? I'm like, it was all right. You know, he was fine. And I saw him hitting on like some other like guests and he was hitting a girl. Like people were fawning over him because, you know, he is who he is or was, I guess. And I don't hold any ill will to this day. I mean, I guess it's kind of a anecdotal, kind of charming, funny story. But Josh was pissed, obviously. He was like, he wanted to kick his ass. I actually felt kind of sorry for him. I felt like no ability to listen, no curiosity. I mean, granted, we're two guys dressed in all black, serving drinks and food. There's no reason to be curious about us, but you're never going to meet us again. You were on top of a roof, you know. We're sharing a joint. Maybe you want to shut the fuck up for a little bit and stop complaining and just learn a little bit about us or have some mutual conversation. So I felt a little bad for him. And obviously, where he is now in 2018, he's certainly not a leading man. And if you've seen recent photos of him, he's aged pretty badly. I mean, he looks like the, you know, what most, like most Brits do. He's starting to get that prune face. But look, I don't know anything about the guy. And it just kind of made me think of like sometimes how we get wrapped up in our own world. Because whatever was going through his mind at the time and maybe before the party on the roof was really important to him. And I think a lot of times in our lives, that's how we are. We get so focused on our current state. We feel like we have to, you know, I have to do this. I have to connect ABC with XYZ to get out of here. I need to elevate to this next. I need more muscles. I need more money. a better car. I need a better girlfriend or a better boyfriend. I need a bigger apartment. And I think all those things are great, you know, and you know, as an actor, I felt like, certainly felt that way. I felt I was fueled with ambition. But I think sometimes we have to do a check with ourselves and said, or like an emotional check-in of like, and a mental check-in, like why am I doing this? Why am I on this journey? Why am I climbing this mountain? Why is this so important to me? Because if the things that are not, that are causing you grief or making you unhappy, yeah, you can change those, but getting abs or a Mercedes is a lateral shift. I mean, you have to change yourself. It's like if you have a leaky faucet, sure, you can put down new mats. Maybe you should just fix the faucet. And I'm not saying that this is Hugh Grant's deal. This is certainly my deal. I'm just saying if you can't occupy a space that you're in the space, then you're distracted. And maybe you're distracted for good things. But I think the kind of the point, things that I'm learning is the moments come and go. So, I mean, like really like water, like falling down the side of a rock. They're here and then they're gone. They're here and then they're gone. How do we take advantage of it? How do we get out of our head and into this world? And I think a lot of it has to do with doing inventory of making changes that will suit us. Yeah, get a new car if you want, or work out more. I think those things are beneficial and probably will bring you happiness and fulfillment, and you probably deserve it. But think about the changes that you can do for your heart as well as your head. Because what I've learned the hard way is nothing changes if nothing changes. You know what I mean? If you're pursuing something, or if you want something so badly, if you don't get it, then you fall down and then you keep trying, or maybe trying something else. But here's the thing. If you do get it, or even a slice of it, then you're kind of left with, I did all this work and this is what I got. Do I keep pushing? Yeah, I'm going to keep pushing. And then the days turn into weeks and turn into years. And then you have to ask yourself, where am I? Not where am I, but who am I? So that's kind of like, I think, the journey that we're all on. Certainly the journey that I'm on in terms of taking on a new job. And you know, I don't know what this podcast is about anymore. You know, I set out to do a show about, as I called it, truthful conversation with the person that's sitting across from me. Sometimes that doesn't work out. Sometimes, look, I've done episodes where people have, you know, done it on the phone. I've done it through Skype. And I'm like this one, I'm just in a room by myself. I think innovation is kind of key to not only personal growth, but an exploration of finding out what works for you and doesn't work for you. And I think we're all on that journey, whether we know it or not. So I'm putting it out there for you. What works for you? And, you know, what is going to make you better today, better tomorrow, better person, and better functioning at the things that you want to do and aspire to? So Hugh Grant, if you're out there listening, hey, dude, no hard feelings. If you're ever in New York again, I'll get you the good weed, I promise. Bodhisattva, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I love you so much. Take care. And hey, you know what? Go out and buy yourself a Mercedes today. I know you deserve it. I love you guys. Bye.
in my hands, I hold the ashes in my veins, black pitch runs in my chest. In my way, setting sun, dark clouds get round me to the west, my soul's bound that I will go. So by it, got my way.